When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you miss me? Well, guess what? I missed you. I missed Molly, who I'm in studio back right here in New York City. I missed my boy, Shay Shay. I saw you on Saturday Night Live, baby. I saw Shay Shay.
I made it, Stephen A.
Cat Williams interview, over 50 million views. Club Shay Shay's in the house. I got a lot of stuff to celebrate. First tape, record ratings, back in the NFL playoffs. We ain't talking about Cowboy games, Shannon. Now we talking about Cowboy fans. Against Cowboy fans. I mean, it's beautiful.
I love it.
Do you like that, Shay Shay?
I love it.
Do you like that?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Dan Orlovsky is coming into the house, too. I mean, the day is sent. Ryan Clark and the whole crew, first take. It's time to get it started. Holla at you, boy! Whoa!
Oh, way to start your week off right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. That is the Hall of Famer, Shannon Sharp. Hey, Shay, hope you had a wonderful weekend.
I did. Thank you.
Good, good. Stephen A. back on the East Coast. Nice and toasty for you. It's a good, like, 20-something.
It's all right.
You can handle it?
I mean, when you're hot, you know what? The cold weather don't affect you as much.
Wow.
What can I say?
Wow. And there's that. Dan Orlovsky, how are we feeling this morning? Already warmed up, rear and ready to go. I saw you.
I'm ready. I feel great.
Josh Allen victory lap?
No, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is best player in football, but Josh was absolutely spectacular. It sucks that he lost.
All right.
Sucks.
No, he was not spectacular.
No, he wasn't. I was getting ready to say that, but we'll get into all of that. You're getting all of that.
How do you, like, I don't even know how
okay,
you
okay,
say
let's
that.
Okay, okay, let's go. Let's start the show. By the way, yeah, RC's here. Mess. Ryan Clark will be in the building as well. He'll be joining us in just a bit. Let's start with Patrick Mahomes. He heard the talk, wondering whether the Chiefs could survive their first true road playoff game since he's been the starting quarterback. He and his teammates used it as fuel in the 27-24 divisional round win over Josh Allen and the Bills in front of a wild Bills Mafia crowd. Bills kicker, Tyler Bass, heartbreaking, missed a potential game-tying field goal wide right from 44 yards, allowing the Chiefs to run out the clock. Patrick.
Yeah, man, that's a heck of a year, man. I've been on the other side of that. It's tough. You put in so much effort and work every single game to play in these playoff games, and he played his tail off and gave them a chance to win the game.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Losing to them, losing anybody at home sucks. Here, there, it doesn't matter. You just losing sucks. I don't know what else to say.
Completely on me. Didn't work out, and feel terrible. You know, I love this team, and. You know, it hurts. This one hurts bad. And, I got to do a better job. Totally.
All right, Essay, I want to talk to you first. Did the Chiefs take it, or did you feel like the Bills blew it?
I thought the Bills blew it. Personally speaking. And that's not to say they would have won anyway. I understand we're talking about Patrick Mahomes that they're going up against. But missed opportunities are missed opportunities. First of all, to the kicker, Tyler Bass. You know, I can respect the fact and I want to applaud his bravery for being in the locker room because as far as I'm concerned, he should have walked straight to his car and just went home. Didn't even bother going to the locker room. It's all you do. I'm just sick and tired of us sugarcoating our way around it. I mean, when you consider the violence that exists in the sport of football, which obviously Dan Orlovsky and you, Shay Shay, know better than me. The bottom line is this. You're a kicker. You got one job. That's all you got. One job. And that was a gimme. That was a 44-yard field goal. You can't miss that. Why Wright reminding us of the Super Bowl you lost to the New York Giants 20-19 back in the 80s. I mean, my God. Come on, man. You got one damn job. And by the way, you don't miss that normally. So all of a sudden, you pick a divisional playoff game with an AFC championship berth on the line, and you miss that? Shameful. And that's what he has to live with the entire offseason, stuff like that. But I give him props for being in the locker room and doing an interview, okay? That's about that. Let me also point out, Stephon Diggs, you that dude, you that brother. brother, you dropped the bomb. It was right in your hands. It went right through your hands. It was not touched by a defender. You elevated. It was right there. You let it go right through you. I understand that happens, but you are one of the all-world receivers in the National Football League. For that ball to be laid out, a bomb from Josh Allen that was right there in your arms that would have gave them the ball at the 20-yard line to drop that pass. That is
all-time throw.
Shannon, big-time receivers, and we know that Stephon is big-time, but big-time receivers don't drop that pass. They don't miss something like that. That's number two. I understand there was pressure coming from Josh Allen's way because his offensive lineman was being pushed back. I get that, but you got to find a way to step into that throw and to hit Shakur. You have to hit him. He's wide open in the end zone, right in the middle of the end zone. There's no one in the vicinity. You can't underdog. Shannon. That looked like my first pitch. That looked like my first pitch. I mean, that's how short it came. You cannot do that. You can't do it. You have to make that throw because you're Josh Allen, because you're great and you're going up against Patrick Mahomes. You got to make that throw. You got to put your team in a position where under 2 minutes left, it's up to the defense now because you brought them back. You gave them the lead. You up four. Kansas City would have needed a touchdown. You got to make sure you make that throw. Those are three opportunities right there to either tie or win the game, and you blew that. And don't get me started with that ridiculous fake punt that McDermott called. Horrible call. Horrible. If Mecole Hardman doesn't fumble, at the goal line and fumbles the ball out of the end zone, the game is over. There is no need for the last minute potential heroics on the part of Allen, Diggs, or even a field goal made by Bass. None of that is relevant if you don't sit up there and do that fake punt. That was an awful call. So I'm looking at four different scenarios. And last but not least, before you get into your soliloquy, Orlovsky, because we totally disagreed with you, me and Shannon, and you talked about Josh Allen being so great. First of all, he threw for under 200 yards. That was 186 yards. But before you go on your little soliloquy about this man who is 0-4 in the playoffs against Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, but 5-1 against everybody else, let me also mention this point right here. I'm looking at this stuff right here and about – what is it? Only 95 yards was thrown behind the yard of scrimmage. He completed all 16 passes. He threw the ball behind the line of scrimmage 16 times.
That's good.
That's Josh Allen. That's good. Your definition of spectacular is clearly different than me and Shannon's. That's all I want to say.
I'm going or you, Shannon?
You go ahead. Go ahead, Ol.
All right. Listen, the true answer is both. They both of these answers are part of this. Buffalo absolutely missed opportunities. I'm going to get to that. You got to credit Kansas City for kind of what they did going on the road. Number one, I said a month ago, everyone was asking, can they get back? And the answer was yes, if they can play one clean month of football. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, almost to a point of us getting frustrated with their answers in press conferences, were like, it's the controllables. We have to stop beating ourselves. Penalties and turnovers. Penalties, turnovers, and drops. Two penalties, one drop. So you have to credit them to go on the road in one of the best environments in the NFL and to handle all that stuff. Two penalties, one drop, didn't beat themselves. Clean football. Number two, Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, absolutely outstanding game plan. The way that Andy Reid and Matt Nagy used the tight ends, kind of formation things, shifted a ton, and the way that they attacked Buffalo's defense as a good unit and ran the football with Pacheco, absolutely fantastic. I love the creativity to get Travis Kelce the football in different ways. We saw Kelce line up in seven different spots. Slots, outside, backfield. They threw him the ball out of the backfield. And a guy that we've had a lot of conversation about and a lot of people have made fun of and taken shots at, MVS. Two huge catches. Both in the second half. To go on the road and to go do that big time. Patrick was sensational, moving in the pocket, two free runners, making throws. Okay, so I want to get that out of the way. Chiefs, you went on the road and won it. Patrick, spectacular. Oh, that's Buffalo. This is a massive missed opportunity by the Buffalo Bills. Okay, this is the second time in 3 years that we've watched this quarterback be at worst the second best player in the game, and some would say the best player in the game, and lose. You got to stop throwing these stupid stats at me about Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, okay? They're ridiculous. 0-3 versus Patrick in the playoffs. He accounts for 306 yards of offense alone in those three games. 22 touchdowns and one turnover in those playoff runs. He was absolutely sensational yesterday. I want to put into context everybody at home. No. Don't give me the eye roll. Context at home, because you say 186 yards passing. This is like, well, I guess he doesn't run. I guess he doesn't have his legs. To context yesterday, well. Top three defense, Kansas City, okay? 27 first downs accounted for. Most given up by that defense. No sacks by that defense. Hadn't happened all season long. Scored on 50% of their possessions. They had three drives that went for 75 yards or more. No one had done that against the Kansas City Chiefs, except for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Last thing I'm going to say about Josh Allen is this, because I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this today. Bring it, okay? There's one quarterback in the history of the NFL that has accounted for 50 touchdowns in a season when you include the playoffs and not gone to the championship games. Josh Allen. He's done it twice. Don't tell me he wasn't great. There's no way we watch the same game and think that.
What I will tell you, it only matters. It doesn't matter how great you are, offensively, defensively, or a player. Can you get done what you need to get done when you absolutely have to have it? When they absolutely needed to get the ball in the end zone, did he do it? All the reasons why you mentioned that Kansas City took this game, because we were questioning. This was the best offensive game that we've seen from the Chiefs offense the entire season. The offensive line was exceptional. Patrick Mahomes was at his absolute best. All the other things, no drop passes, no penalties by the offensive line, no early pressures by the offensive line. They did an absolutely great job. That's why they took the game. Buffalo kept saying, we need to get these games in our building. We need to get Kansas City and Buffalo. Well, you had Cincinnati and Buffalo last year, and you lost. You had Kansas City this year, and you lost. And forget the stats. When it comes down to it, Patrick Mahomes somehow is able to make the plays that Josh Allen cannot make in moments. Because, D.O., you know this. Sometimes the game comes down to moments. It's not the entirety of the game. It comes down to moments. And what made Brady so great is that when the moments needed him to rise to the occasion, not only did he rise, he surpassed what we even thought he could get to. And that is where Patrick Mahomes is different than Josh Allen. When moments, when we need Josh to be at his absolute best, he came up small. Patrick, first of all, and second of all, Andy Reid.
Let him speak.
What?
He didn't, no, he didn't. Go ahead, Shannon. He did not interrupt you. Let him speak.
You look at Kansas City. Sean McDermott with 13 minutes in the ball game on 4th and 5 at your own 20, at your own 29. Why would you go for it? Remember, Kansas City had gone up and down the field. The 13 of their previous 16 possessions, Kansas City had kicked field goals. So their first two possessions last night, they kicked field goals. After that, bam, 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 late in the first half, early in the third. Why would you put Kansas City on a short field? Why would you do that? The only thing is Andy Reid tried to get cute and outsmart himself and put the ball in the guy's hand, although Pacheco had run it down there. You're going to put the ball in Mecole Hardman's hand, who hadn't touched the ball all night, who hadn't really touched the ball all year? Give the ball to Pacheco. Give the ball to Edwards-Helaire. Let him punch the ball in, and now you go up by 2 scores. Kansas City took this game, D.O., because this was the cleanest game that we have seen offensively, and they had to have it because, like you said, all the stats that you gave against their defense, the first downs that they gave up, the rush yards that they gave up, the non-pressures that they didn't generate, with the exception of that one that Stone Cold Jones got on him and he forced him to the errant throw to Shakir. Kansas City won this game because you go on the road and you hadn't looked like this all year. You tell me the game in which you saw their offensive line play like this, Patrick Mahomes throw like this, and the receivers hold on to the ball like this. Yeah. Tell me the game in the regular season in which we saw this offense look like what they looked last night.
Shannon, the only correct, because I don't disagree with what you're saying, the only correction I would make is about Hardman getting the ball. I'm not saying that was the right decision, but if you remember, Pacheco had run down the left sideline. And what happened is he had twisted his left ankle right there, so he basically asked out at that moment. That's
Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember, Edwards-Helaire had already brought one. He had brought one earlier.
Yeah, give him the ball. I was just talking about Pacheco didn't get it that way because he has himself out of the game. That's all I was saying.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dan.
What's the difference to this game? Like, what's the difference in this game?
I thought I gave you the moments right there. Hardman, Diggs dropping the ball, and obviously, but also that touchdown that Allen missed throwing to Shakir.
The difference in a game is one quarterback had cats make plays down the field and one didn't. You talk about Tom Brady and rising up to the moment. Tom Brady rose up to the moment and Adam Vinatieri finished the moment. Tom Brady rose up to the moment and Edelman finished the moment, or a Gronk finishes the moment. Josh didn't have any help yesterday. He got let down. I love Steph. He's an unbelievable player. He's got to make that catch. Sherfield's got two drops down the field. Two. So there's three drops. Stephen A. says he only threw for 186 yards. He's got three drops that if one of them gets caught, shoot, Steph's is 65 yards. It might end the game. This on Sherfield on third and long, that's 50. Is it a tough catch? Sure, I'll give you it's a tough. So what?
Let me come back at you with this.
What?
You're acting like we're saying Josh Allen played bad. Saying that.
You guys dance around words.
We don't do that. Nobody dances better than you. You tried it the other day when you was doing.
Yeah, Fred will scare.
Don't start that.
Stephen A.
Don't start that nonsense now. Don't bring up dancing because you know how to dance. That's not true.
You both have intimated that he didn't show up in the big moment.
No, we did not intimate that. What we said was, even though the tagline right there says how much blame, we're not blaming Josh Allen, but Shannon is right when he talked about you, it does come down to moments, and that was a moment where he missed Shakir, even though
he's got 600 pounds in his lap.
Yeah, I understand that. Listen, you got to step in it. It's the moment. That's what we're talking about. And that's number one. Number two, look, Dan Orlovsky, the reality of the situation is 16 passes thrown behind the line of scrimmage. How difficult is that for a quarterback of his caliber to pull off? 16 passes behind the line of scrimmage.
Stephen A.,
what am I missing?
That's the way that Kansas City. Kansas City was forcing you to play.
I'm only asking, stop acting like that was spectacular. He was running the football effectively, no doubt, but stop acting like that was spectacular. Go ahead, Shannon.
Dan, ask you a question?
Yes,
how much credit last week did you give Josh Allen for the Steelers and the four touchdown performance that he had last week? How much credit? You see what you try to do when they win, you give him all the credit. But when they lose, you want to obfuscate him of any blame. He did not play well when they absolutely needed him to play well. So in other words, every quarterback that has not got it done, I can go back and look at every other quarterback that lost to Tom Brady. They had drops here or there. But now all of a sudden, Josh Allen is unique in what happened to him. So Josh Allen is the only guy that had guys drop passes.
Shannon, I'm going to give you one decision. The third down decision when he ends up scrambling and throwing away right before the Tyler Bass miss kick. I've said it all morning. Josh, give me that one decision to throw to Kincaid over the middle field. I'll give you that. I will give you that. But it's also a double-edged sword. But it's also he should hit Kincaid over them. But it's a double-edged sword because I could go to the previous possession on third and goal from the 13 when he scrambles outside to his left and throws an absolute heater to the front pylon for a touchdown to Shakir. He has someone open underneath there. So, yes, I'll give you that this moment. I would Monday morning quarterback.
Stephen, you see what he tried to do? He had somebody. No, it was third and goal. Why would you take somebody that's underneath and force to kick a field goal as opposed to throwing to Shakir in the end zone? That's why he threw to Shakir in the end zone.
But that's not a guaranteed first down, Kincaid. Him and Bolton are going to go right at the first down marker. It's not a guarantee.
But how about this here? I tell you what, all the passes that skipped to dirt are incomplete. That's what we do know. The one that he threw in the end zone on third down, it skipped. We knew that was incomplete.
You guys are talking about it today like one quarterback's performance was exponentially better.
Let me ask you a question, though. Have we seen Kansas City offense operate like they operated yesterday all year?
That was the first thing I said. No.
Thank you.
That was the first thing I said, Chin. Let me ask you this. During the season, I was on this show with you guys when Philadelphia went to Kansas City. Philadelphia won. What did we say about Kansas City and their offense that night?
They were bad.
But what was the reason why they lost the game?
But you did say one drop. If Van Der Scanlon makes that catch,
everyone
we're having a different discussion.
Everybody did, not just Dan. Everyone did. Everyone said MVS go make that catch.
But I'm looking at the totality of it. Look at all year their offensive line. They got the most penalized offensive right tackle in all of football.
Shannon, I agree with you. That was the first thing I said. You have to credit Kansas City for the cleanest game that they played and the plan that they let off. The blame Josh Allen? How much blame does Josh Allen deserve?
I'm blaming the Buffalo Bills.
Listen, I don't know why. I agree with you. That's not the right question, and that's not how we started off the segment. All I'm trying to challenge you on is, like, don't sit up there and say he was great when it's devoid of that big moment. Now, obviously, Stephon Diggs dropping that pass. That was a great pass by Josh Allen. That's all on Diggs. You got to make that throw to Shakir. If you're going to throw it, you got to make that throw. You can't skip it in there. He's wide open.
He's wide open.
Listen, if you look at the play where he came up short to Shakir, I understand there was some pressure, but look at that. You, with the arm that he's got on him, as wide open as that brother was, you've got to make that. It's pressurized moments, and the great ones, not to say that he's not great, but the truly, truly great ones find a way to get that.
Stephen A., you remember last year in the championship game when Patrick Mahomes was playing on that bum ankle after he had got tackled in the divisional round? Remember what happened? He jumped through on a bum ankle and hit Van Der Scanlon against Cincinnati. Those are the moments that we talk about in which the greatness needs to come out of said player. Josh Allen, I understand that his left tackle is getting put in his lap, but you have got to find a way. If you're that guy and you want to be immortalized, you've got to find a way to make that play.
That's all, Dan.
We are knocking a player, some capacity, however you guys want to phrase it, because he's not Patrick.
Wait a minute.
No.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Come on. You can label it that way. That's fine. You can label it that way. All I know is this. If I'm going up against a dude, if I play your position, and you are a two-time champion, you've been to three Super Bowls, you're universally recognized as arguably the greatest ever. My greatest performance was against you in a 42-36 playoff loss at Arrowhead Stadium.
When I got let down.
Time out. When you got let down, you've been salivating for the opportunity to go against him. You waited 2 years. Not only do you have him, but you have him on your home turf. Bills Mafia is in the house. Everybody waiting for days. They're shoveling the snow. They ain't hiring people. People volunteered to shovel the snow out of the damn stadium so they could be up in the house. Everybody waited for this. You can't sit up there and say, well, you know what? It's being held against you that you're not him. The objective is to be him, if not better, if you want to get it done. An 0-4 record against Mahomes and Joe Burrow in the playoffs, it's not a good thing. Well, it's not a good thing.
Stephen A., this isn't tennis.
Okay.
They give up 34 points a game in those losses.
Prepare for years to come for you to sit up there and look at a national audience with you doing all the great things that you do covering football, saying this ain't tennis.
What are you most frustrated about right now? In terms of this debate, what's irking you?
I'm most frustrated about it because in sports, usually your performance determines the outcome, whether it's individual or team sports. One quarterback didn't deserve to lose that game, and it's happened on a consistent basis, so that shapes some of the viewpoint of who he is. It's like, well, he can't get it done.
You think it's a false narrative?
100%. There's no way that you watch the game or you look at the numbers, however you view the game, and sit there and say one was great and one wasn't. They both were great. Patrick was spectacular.
Dio,
so was Josh.
Dio, we watched Tom Brady throw for the most playoff yards in NFL history and lose because he had one turnover. It's about moments. It's about moments. We've seen other guys outplay Tom Brady statistically. But Tom Brady, when they needed to make a play, he makes the play.
Okay,
or
go
guys
back to
make
the
play.
Super Bowl 3 years ago, Tampa Bay versus Kansas City. One of the biggest takeaways everybody had from that game? Patrick was unbelievable. Patrick played great. He just didn't have enough help around him.
He was running for his life.
We're talking about moments. Shannon, you keep bringing up moments. If Stephon Diggs catches that ball, we're talking about an all-time playoff throw. That's the throw during the draft season.
Right,
the Buffalo Bills are going, who are we going to draft?
Yeah. And if Josh Allen makes that throw to secure, we're talking about an all-time great throw with a defensive lineman in his lap.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The divisional round started with the Ravens dominating the Texans. Lamar Jackson threw for 2 touchdowns, ran for 2 more as the Ravens get to host a conference championship game for the very first time Saturday night. The Niners escaped with a win over the Packers. They trailed by a touchdown entering the fourth quarter, but Brock Purdy led them on a game-winning TD drive. And in the first game yesterday, the Lions advanced past the Buccaneers to reach their first conference championship game since 1991. That was tied with Washington for the longest active drought. These Lions, they're built for this.
You're built for this. You're built for this, man. And look what you guys did. You went out there and the what? It's another hot team that we knocked off. It's the next hot team that you knock off. Do you know how hard it is to win this league in the playoffs?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what you're doing right now?
Sure.
What we're capable of?
Sure,
that's two. All right, that's two. We got two to go with a bye in the middle.
Danny boy, we know you got love for Detroit. Are the Lions the best story remaining in the playoffs?
They are. And I think I'm going to take the Lions this weekend on the road in San Francisco as well. I think the Lions.
I might do that too.
I think the way that the Lions.
What I'm going to do.
Wow.
I think the way that the Lions are running the football, specifically on the outside, the lines of scrimmage have to be a little bit of a concern for San Francisco. Here's why the Lions are the best story left in the playoff. Number one, this organization and this team have given this city something that it's kind of desired or begged for forever. Pride and respect. I was there when it wasn't good. It was the economic downturn. We stunk as a football team. There was a lot of embarrassment. And this fan base has just stayed with it and stayed with it and stayed with it. That place was electric on television on Sunday afternoon. It was spectacular to watch. The fact that they have an organization now that brings pride to them, a sense of respect. They're respected. They're really good. They've won home playoff games. They have more NFC Championship games appearances this century than the Dallas Cowboys that we talk about on a daily basis. And they got a head coach that people made fun of. They got a quarterback that people cast off. They got different players that maybe don't have household names. There's a lot of great stories left in the playoffs. This is the best one for what it represents for a city that has desperately wanted it.
It's Lamar Jackson. It's not even close. You remember when he came out, you should become a running back. You should be a wide receiver. 31 teams passed on him. It wasn't until Ozzie Newsome, in his last draft, traded back into the first round to select the man at 32. Guess what happened this offseason, Dan? They had a franchise tag on him in 31 teams. Now, granted, all 31 teams didn't need him, but about 15 teams said, we don't need Lamar Jackson. There is no way Lamar Jackson can come into our building and improve our quarterback situation. So they passed on him in the draft, and they told him go to wide receiver or go to running back. This offseason, 15 teams passed on him and said, no, we don't get you. But if you remember, they asked Lamar Jackson. They say, Lamar Jackson, what are the Baltimore Ravens going to get out of Lamar Jackson? He stood in front of that camera. He was disappointed because he was a Heisman Trophy winner. He said, they're going to get a bowl out of Lamar. He said, I promise you that. He's one game away from delivering an opportunity to play. Given what he's been through, given all the doubt that was surrounding him, some very prominent people that put together great championship teams said this young man was devoid of the talent to play quarterback in the NFL. He needed to become a wide receiver or he needed to become a quarterback. You tell me a better situation where somebody told you you can't be this, and here you are now on the cusp, about to win your second MVP, an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, and he was spectacular on Sunday. That's greatness. What you saw Lamar Jackson do against a very hot Houston Texan team, that's what you needed Josh Allen to do against the Baltimore Ravens, and maybe they're playing Lamar Jackson and not Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson is the best story right now, and it's not even close.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, Shannon. I'm going to roll with D.O. on this one. I think your argument is compelling, but it elevates exponentially next week if Lamar Jackson goes to the Super Bowl. Right now, this week, I would say Detroit. And I'm going to and it's not so much football. To some degree it is, but it's another element that I'm about to bring up. First of all, let's understand something. The Detroit Lions just won its second playoff game in the postseason, in the same postseason. It's the first time they did it since 1957. The first time they did it since 1957. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just unbelievable. When they won the championship before they were Super Bowls, crying out loud. I mean, this is what we're talking about here with the Detroit Lions. That's number one. So we get all of that. We know the Dan Campbell angle and when he come and what he inherited. Did you know that over the last season and a half, Dan Campbell is 20-7? As a head coach, 20-7. He's turned that program around, and obviously you got to take that into consideration. Here's where it resonates for me, and it's just on a personal level, Shannon, D.O. Here's the deal. Detroit, phenomenal fan base.
Yeah.
Great city. Been through a lot. The downtown area, big time. The stadium, big time. But you go to other outskirts of the Detroit area, it looks like a damn desert town. I mean, I'm sitting here wondering how the hell people making money. It looks like a desert town. I'm just looking at it and I'm like, what the hell is going on in this city? And then you see the Detroit Lions coming up and sort of reviving. Just giving. They were on a respirator for crying out loud. Just as a city, and what this franchise has done for that city. And that state, I mean, it's you gotta go there to see what I'm talking about. Because when you get away from the downtown area, and when you get away from the arena, from the stadium, and then you're just driving around. I mean, it's different, man. It's different. And so to know and to see the kind of impact this is having, Lamar is Lamar. That is a spectacular story. And I'm hoping he makes the Super Bowl, and that would be something special, Shannon. And you're right. But right now. Right now, seeing what Detroit was and what it has been revived into, knowing that the Lions have everything to do with that, it extends beyond football and it extends beyond the individual. And that's where I'm coming from with it.
Even as of last year, they were calling the man a running back that could throw the football.
Okay.
That's what they called him. Look at what he's been able to do. Given, you know, I wouldn't resign him because he can't stay healthy. The last 2 years, he didn't finish the season. They put the franchise tag, so you mean to tell me they're out of all 32 teams, the Ravens notwithstanding, so 31, you mean to tell me Atlanta? You mean to tell me nobody could have used Lamar Jackson? Knowing what he is, a guy that had already won an MVP, a guy that had already taken a team to the playoffs and won a playoff game. He's won the MVP, but he can't win the big game. Oh, he's done this, but he can't do that. He's silencing everybody. His mom did his contract. Well, I don't know why he let his mom do his contract. Everything that they could say negative about Lamar Jackson, and I've been one of the ones that, like, hey, Lamar needs to play better. Lamar needs to do this. He silenced everybody. The silence is deafening. He wins this game.
He hasn't
beat Patrick Mahomes. What the Kansas City Chiefs represent in the AFC over the last 6 years since Patrick Mahomes, it changes. He wins the Super Bowl. How do you not say he's a top 10 quarterback all time? I'm willing to go that far already. With two MVPs and a Super Bowl, and I believe if they win the Super Bowl, he's got to be the MVP.
Right. But let me say this real quick before you go on, just as a non-football league, because I see people text me already about the city of Detroit. I am not disrespecting the city of Detroit. I love Detroit. I love the people there. I think the fan base is phenomenal. And when you look at some of these areas, Birmingham, West Bloomfield, Grosse Pointe, Farmington, all of that stuff, I know a lot about Detroit. What I'm saying is, however, if you drive to certain parts, the metro area is big time. The inner city needs to be developed. I'm looking at it from the standpoint that I've been there, and I wish that businesses did more there. I wish that the folks there were treated better the way that they deserve to be treated. I am not disrespecting the city of Detroit. I'm saying they needed all the help that they could get, and Detroit Lions have assisted in that regard. And I hope businesses are booming and things are continuing to develop for the betterment of that community, because they deserve better than what some of the politicians and what some other folks have given to the city. That is my point. I just want to make sure I'm making that. But
I got you. I love Detroit. I loved living there 7 years. Here's why I disagree with you, Shannon. We talked about this last Thursday. He hasn't shut people up, Lamar. He hasn't. Because there is still the crowd that says, until you win the Super Bowl, we don't care. That's what Shannon, I said this last week. I said, the reason why Lamar has to win a Super Bowl is because there are people, both in his past and present day, that say a player that sounds when he talks, looks, and plays that way should never win a Super Bowl at that position.
Right.
That's why he's and Lamar knows that. Their organization knows that. It's not about MVPs anymore. He's taken that crowd and crushed them. And it's, well, you can't win playoff games. And he's taken that crowd and crushed them. Now there's still the crowd that says, well, because of this, because the way he talks, the way he looks, the way he plays, you should not win a Super Bowl at the quarterback position in the NFL. That's why, to your point, Stephen A., like, he's got to go win the Super Bowl. And every week it becomes bigger. Detroit, that story right now of where that city was – and where that organization, Shannon, they were 0-16. I was on a team.
Yeah.
They're now in the NFC Championship game. They got a coach that did bite the kneecap. This guy's a Neanderthal meathead. All he does, he's a big dummy football guy. No, he's really smart. And that team is as detailed and as well coached as anybody. They got a draft this year that the general manager, Brad Holmes, took a linebacker and a running back in the first round, and people laughed at him. People laughed at him and said, you don't take running back in the first round? How's Jahmyr Gibbs look right now?
But here's the thing. You're absolutely right. They killed Peyton Manning. You remember Peyton Manning was winning MVPs and getting bounced in the first round? So this is not unique to Lamar Jackson. You remember Steve Young? Stephen A. was winning MVPs and was getting put out by the Cowboys. And you remember when he won the Super Bowl? He asked Gary Plummer to do what? Get this monkey off my back. That's not unique to Lamar Jackson. When you're that good at that position, you're expected to not only get to, but to win a Super Bowl. So Lamar Jackson, he silenced a lot, but they're not. even if you win, that's still not going to be enough because they expect you to win all the time now. But I think the story of Lamar Jackson, what he's gone through and where he's come from to even be in this position, about to be a two-time league MVP when when they told him to change the position to go to wide receiver, man, that's an unbelievable story.
I love that,
Hollywood don't write stories like this.
Yeah, 100%.
I love Lamar.
All right.
One of my favorite players.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Good day. Welcome back to First Take, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 in New York City. Thank you for starting your week off here with us. A lot to get into. We're talking playoffs. NFC Championship game is set. Jared Goff and the Lions travel to face Brock Purdy, Debo, and Christian McCaffrey. Despite the win, the Packers-Niners game a little too close for comfort at times. Dan, were you surprised at Purdy's performance? Not surprised, rather. Were you more concerned by it?
I'm concerned about it, yes. Yeah. Now, I'm completely aware of the weather, and I do believe the weather played a factor. I'm concerned about it in regards to this. If you go to the first quarter, he almost throws a pick six to Darnell Savage. It's first quarter, 5 minutes and 40 seconds on the clock. The backside post he's trying to throw, Shannon, and he almost throws a pick six. And the thing that's made Purdy really unique is he's been unfazed by so many different things. And I think that has given Kyle Shanahan such confidence in his ability. When you watch that pick six almost happen, and after the rest of that game, he's a different player. He's less willing to throw the ball downfield. There's four plays that he's got throws downfield that I've seen him make over the past 2 years. Certainly, I've watched him make this season. He doesn't even throw them, let alone miss them. He's got throws underneath that he is hesitant on. I call it pulling the string. It's almost like if you remember Zach Wilson of last year for the Jets, like missing super easy throws. You're like, why, dude? He's guiding the football like he's scared to miss and or make a mistake. Those are the concerning ones to me because he's been that player, Shannon, Stephen A. and Molly, that you were like, he's different.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't get fazed by the bad or whatnot. Now, I got to give the young dude credit. Like, he was unbelievable in that final drive, that big-time drive. He made two or three big throws. But that's concerning because this is the first time I feel like in a – maybe in like a big game that I saw him be affected by a potential negative outcome. And it, early in this NFC title game, if you have a couple more moments like that, that's got to be a little bit, like, again, concerning for Kyle and that fan base. So, yeah, I was concerned by it.
Yeah, and I think everybody was concerned about it because we knew the stat. Going into the fourth quarter, trailing by at least 7 points, Kyle Shanahan hadn't won a game. And you're absolutely right, Dio. He had started to pull the string. He had started to second-guess himself. He had started to become hesitant. Mm-hmm. But did you know what? Stephen A., did you know this? In the catch game, Joe Montana had thrown three picks and he had a lost fumble before he threw that ball to Dwight Clark.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I knew
that.
Brock Purdy showed me something with that performance on the final drive. Remember what we said. Sometimes it's not about the entirety of the game. It's about moments. Can you rise to the occasion? And on that final drive, when they absolutely had to have it, remember I talked about it earlier, the way you measure an offense or defense, when you absolutely have to have it, can you go get it? When he had to have throws, he went and got it. Now, absolutely, Jennings climbed the ladder on one of those throws over the middle. Brandon Ayuk took one off the shoe tops in the driving rain. But he scrambled. He made the plays that he had to make. He threw a nice out ball to Connolly. I think that's Connolly.
Yeah.
He made the plays in that final drive, Stephen A., that you like to see guys make. Because normally when guys, especially young guys, when they go into the tank early, it's hard for them to get themselves out of that. Give him credit. It's nice to have a Christian McCaffrey that Kyle Shanahan can lean on, can hand the ball off to. But he showed me something. He showed me something on that final drive that I didn't think he had in him because I had yet to see him. I wanted to see every throw matter, every possession matter. It matters Saturday, and he came through.
Well, I'm going to give him credit for coming through, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a reason to be concerned because it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That doesn't mean that we haven't seen limitations. You know, I'm looking at a stat here, like 13 to 20 targeting in breaking routes for 174 yards and a touchdown. Give him a lot of credit where credit is due. Here's what I noticed, Shannon. Here's what I noticed, D.O.
Yes, sir.
Notice how the struggles became a bit more conspicuous the minute Debo went out.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's like. It reminded me of how they looked during their three-game losing streak when they didn't have Debo and they didn't have Trent Williams.
Sure.
You know, it's like if you need conditions to be ideal in order for you to excel,
yeah.
That worries me. Because when I think about Detroit, all of their conditions don't always seem ideal, but somehow, some way, they grind it out. When we look at Baltimore throughout this season, they've won games ugly, they've won games impressively.
Yeah.
They've grinded out. When we see Patrick Mahomes and the troubles that they've had, particularly with their wide receivers, they grind it out. What did we lament about the Cowboys? What did we lament about the Miami Dolphins?
They needed utopia.
We lamented they needed utopia.
Yeah.
And so what are we seeing about San Francisco right now? That's my concern with Brock Purdy.
And Stephen A., let me just add to
completions. I'm not,
you're bringing Debo leaving with the shoulder. Adam Schefter, as of right now, is saying he's 50-50 to play.
Oh, all right, let me say this. I'm undecided on whether or not San Francisco or Detroit is going to win this game.
Yeah.
That becomes very clear to me. The San Francisco 49ers are not beating the Detroit Lions without Debo Samuel. I don't believe that for one second. I don't believe it. I think they need Debo in order to advance and get to the Super Bowl and have a shot to win it. You don't have a snowball's chance in hell, in my opinion, of beating Kansas City or Baltimore if without Debo. And I don't think Detroit either.
Shannon, what do you think? I mean, right now they're favored by 6.5, but what if Debo can't go?
Well, for me, I don't see a scenario. I think they put medicine, D.O., you know this. I think they put medicine in. I don't think he practices this week, but I think they put medicine in that shoulder. Given the circumstance and the magnitude of this game, I don't see a scenario in which, unless that arm is falling off the bone, I don't see a scenario in which Debo does not at least give it an opportunity or a chance to get himself into this ball game and play. But Stephen A., that's what this was about. As bad as Joe played in that game, it came down to a moment. It came down to the drive and the catch. As bad as Brock Purdy played, and he was targeting Christian McCaffrey, and he was spraying the ball all over the place. He was aiming the ball because he was trying to be so careful. He didn't want to throw a pick because he knows a turnover in that ball game probably was going to cost him the game. But when he needed to have it, he went and got it.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.